BBC News with Julie Kendler. A Colombian general kidnapped by the FARC rebel group earlier this month has been released. General Ruben Dario Alzate and two companions have been taken to a military base near the city of Medellin. They're due to be reunited with their families. The general's capture prompted the Colombian government to suspend long-running peace talks with the FARC in Cuba. A FARC representative in Havana, Ivan Marquez, said a peace agreement was vital for Colombia.
We ask President Santos to use his common sense and agree that we cannot continue with the absurdity of prolonging these peace talks in the middle of a war. It's time for a ceasefire on both sides, so that fighting can no longer interrupt such a beautiful and historic process like that of peace, a process which our nation longs for.
Pope Francis has urged Muslim leaders worldwide to speak out clearly and condemn terrorism carried out in the name of Islam. Returning from a trip to Turkey, where he met the spiritual leader of the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Pope said he understood how Muslims were offended by a stereotype that equated Islam with terrorism. An investigation into corruption in the Iraqi army has revealed that there were 50,000 fictitious names on its payroll. The scale of the problem came to light in an inquiry headed by the Prime Minister, Haider al-Abadi, who says the excess payments have been halted. Alan Johnston reports.
The 50,000 extra payroll names belong to what were known in the Iraqi army as ghost soldiers. They didn't exist, or they no longer reported for duty. But their salaries were paid and presumably siphoned off by corrupt officers. The Americans spent billions trying to build up the Iraqi army, yet it collapsed when the Islamic State militants launched their northern offensive last summer. And one of the reasons for that weakness was the chronic corruption in the army's ranks.
The charity Save the Children has defended its record on tackling Ebola in Sierra Leone, following complaints that a treatment centre it runs is three-quarters empty. The agency says the safety of staff at the Carytown Centre in the capital Freetown is paramount. Andrew Harding has been to the centre.
A rare sound at the Carytown Ebola facility. Songs and celebrations as a 21-year-old student is discharged, cured of the virus. There are 80 beds here as a centrepiece of Britain's response to the Ebola outbreak. But nearly 4 weeks after it opened, only 14 beds are currently occupied. Save the Children insists it always intended a slow start. Training staff takes time, but the organisation says that all 80 beds will soon be filled.
World news from the BBC. The British government has expressed disappointment at China's decision to deny a British parliamentary committee permission to enter Hong Kong to conduct an inquiry. A British Foreign Office spokesman said the refusal was not in the spirit of the agreement signed 30 years ago for the transfer of Hong Kong's sovereignty from Britain to China. A Christian militia in the Central African Republic, which has been accused of carrying out widespread atrocities, says it has abandoned violence in favour of politics. A spokesman for the anti-Balaka movement urged fighters to lay down their weapons. The new political organisation is to be known as the Central African Party for Unity and Development. The organisation representing the world's French-speaking countries has named a woman to be its leader for the first time. The former Governor-General of Canada, Michael Jean, was chosen at the Francophone Summit in the Senegalese capital, Dakar. Born in Haiti, she and her family fled to Canada as refugees in the 1960s. Michael Jean has promised to shift the organisation's focus towards economic issues.
People are seeing in this economic strategy some hope and new relevance for La Francophonie. You know, countries, peoples and civilizations came together by doing business together, by exchanging economically together. And this is how, you know, we saw civilizations coming together. This is the history of humanity.
Nearly 2,000 Brazilian couples have got married at an indoor sports venue in Rio de Janeiro in the biggest mass wedding in the city's history. The annual event, promoted by the local authorities, is aimed at helping low-income couples who can't afford to pay for a wedding. Many of the couples have been living together for years. The authorities in Rio booked special commuter trains for the couples and their guests. An estimated 12,000 people attended the ceremony. BBC News.